the Lord's hand in our lives. You know, when we allow the Lord to have a hand in our life, the outcome is always good. But when we exclude Him from our life and from our troubles or whatever that we may have in our lives, then generally, you know, we're on our own. And the history tells us when we do try to do things on our own, that our success rate is not very high. But when we allow the Lord to work in our lives, then things turn out well. We find in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, where that the Bible says, "They which were scattered abroad, upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them." Well, what do you suppose happened when they went throughout all of these areas, preaching and teaching the word, and the hand of the Lord was with them? You think that perhaps their work prospered? You think that perhaps they accomplished some of the things that they sought out and set out to accomplish? Well, the Bible says the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And I believe today that if we want to have the hand of the Lord working in our ministry, it's as simple enough as to preach the message the Lord preached, to teach the message that the apostles taught, to stick with what thus saith the word of the Lord. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says again that they brought young children to him that he should touch them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. In other words, they thought, well, the master is too important, he's too busy doing things to be bothered with these little kids, and you shouldn't be bringing all these little kids to where the Jesus is at and asking him to do things. But the Bible says when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children and to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." He took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, children, I can tell you of a truth today that when the Lord puts his hand on you, you will be blessed. When the Lord puts his hands upon you for good, you will be blessed. And so therefore we want to look at some examples tonight of how the Lord's hand was involved in people's lives. We notice first of all in Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 29, that there was a man that was blind and couldn't see. Now I've often said of all the senses that I have, I believe my sight's probably the most precious. And while I wouldn't want to do without any of the senses that God gave me, I believe I could do without any of them greater than I could my sight. I really feel pity and compassion for those that are unable to see. This man was not able to see, and the Bible begins by saying, "They departed from Jericho, and a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.'" Now, do you think that perhaps we would have done the same thing? Here was Jesus passing by, one that had a reputation by this time as one that would heal you if something was wrong, as one that was preaching the good news of the gospel and helping people. And perhaps this person had been looked at by physicians and said, "There's no hope for you to recover your sight." Perhaps many of people had kicked around and taken this person and treated him spitefully and mistreated these people. And here they are, here that Jesus is coming close to where that they're at. You know, it would just thrill your heart, I no doubt. It just thrilled their heart and their soul to think that perhaps there was somebody coming that could help them. They cried out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." The multitude rebuked them. The multitude rebuked them. They said that they shouldn't be hollering out like that and crying out like that. because they should hold their peace, but they cried to the Lord saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Jesus stood still, called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? And I want you to know tonight that if there's pain or suffering, if there's trouble in our lives, if we'll call upon the name of the Lord, according to His commandments, Jesus hears. Jesus hears. And when Jesus heard these two men crying out unto Him, He called for them. And He asked them a question, what do you want me to do? Or what shall I do unto you? They said unto Him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. You know, if I was blind and couldn't see, I would want more than anything for my eyes to be opened. I would want more than anything for me to be able to open my eyes and see a beautiful sunrise. These are things that we take for granted. I would want more than anything to open my eyes and see my loved ones. I would want more than anything to open my eyes and see the beauties of the natural world that God has created. I would want more than anything to open my eyes and read the Bible for myself. And so they wanted to see. And I think that's something that all of us would want. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Jesus, we can imagine with our eye of faith, reaching out and touching their eyes with His hands. What happened when Jesus touched their eyes? Immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. Blind eyes see Jesus. You know, wouldn't it be great that if your eyes were blind and you couldn't see, that the great Master would heal you and the first thing that you see is Jesus Christ? You know, one of these days, we're going to open our eyes from death. What are we going to see? We're going to see Jesus Christ, aren't we? Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says, behold, every eye shall see Him. That's the eyes that haven't seen Him before. That's the eyes that have been blind here upon the earth. Jesus is going to open the blind eyes. And they'll see. And I hope and pray tonight that as the gospel message goes forth, that the word of Jesus Christ, if there's blindness spiritually in your life, that you can open your eyes and see Jesus. Open up your eyes and see the truth. 1 John 1 and 1, John says this, that which was from the beginning. He says, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John was one of those that was privileged to be with Jesus for a period of about 3 years in His ministry and actually touch Him and see Him and hear Him. We can't literally lay our hands upon Jesus today, but we can certainly hear Him and we can see Him through the Scriptures. And He can touch our lives for good. So we see that because Jesus had a hand in their life, that He brought illumination to their very lives. We notice again in Luke chapter 13, verse 10, that when Jesus has a hand in your life, that He can bring liberty. He can liberate that which was bound. Bible says there that He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together, could in no wise lift up herself. You know, 18 years is a long time, isn't it? 18 years is a long time, and this woman had been like this for 18 years. She was bowed together. She couldn't even lift herself up. You ever seen old men and women as they get older and they perhaps work hard all their lives and they stoop and they bow? Well, this woman had been like this through an affliction
for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You know, the truth of the matter is, when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, they followed him. When Jesus liberated this woman from her infirmity, she glorified God. Today, when Jesus has a hand in our life and he does good things for us, we need to do good things in response. We need to follow him. We need to glorify him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. No doubt this woman was bound for many years. But because she came in contact with Jesus, because Jesus had a hand in her life, she was made straight. Today there could be a similar situation in our lives, perhaps to where that we're bowled together, or we're compacted because of stress or anxiety or pains or sufferings or things in our lives. Jesus can do the very same thing for us that he did for her. You notice that these people had to come in contact with Jesus. So many people have pain in their lives. So many people have suffering in their lives. So many people have alienation in their lives. Yet they don't try to seek Jesus. They don't try to come in contact with Jesus. Children, that's the reason the church exists, is to try to get people back to where they can contact Jesus. We find that when Jesus has a hand on our lives, he can cleanse us. Clean us up. Matthew 8:2. "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him." And I don't know how much you know about leprosy, but leprosy is not a good thing. To be a leper is not a very good thing. Even today, there's very little that medicine can do for those that are afflicted with leprosy. And oftentimes, in biblical times, they were cast out of the community and they were suffered. They had to dwell among themselves, didn't they? But here came a leper and he worshipped Jesus. He said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." In other words, "Jesus, if you want to, you can cleanse me." You know, tonight Jesus wants to cleanse every one of us. But you have to come to where the cleansing's at. It's kind of like your kids. We want to send our kids to school bathed and clean, but they have to go to the tub, don't they? Well, the same thing is here in Zechariah chapter 14. The Bible talks about a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. We have to understand that there's a fountain available for that, but we have to go to where it's at. But this leper came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, or if you want to, you can make me clean." Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know, this leper realized that the physicians wasn't able to help. This leper realized that those in the synagogue and those that were priests and high priests, they couldn't help. But he realized there was something special about Jesus that was greater than any of these men, and that Jesus could cleanse them. I would to God that we can convince men and women today that there is one named Jesus Christ that can cleanse. There may be no one else that we can turn to in the world, but we can turn to Jesus, because Jesus is more special than any man. What men cannot do, Jesus can do. Psalms 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, and let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We can cleanse our paths, we can cleanse our lives today by taking hold on the word of God. You know, it was the touch of Jesus' hand and the speech that he made that cleansed that man. Today we can have the hand of the Lord in our lives when we take a hold of the word of God. We can have a similar effect in our lives. We find in Matthew chapter 8 that when Jesus' hand is in our life, that he can bring comfort to us. You know, I couldn't tell you the times that I've been in funeral services and you try to comfort families when you've been maybe at the deathbed of someone that was passing from this life and you're trying to bring some type of comfort to that person. And there's not a whole lot that you can say or a whole lot that you can do outside the Word of God, at least not for me. I can stand there and hold their hand and I can talk to them about things of this life. I can talk to them about their family or their friends or their home congregation, whether they worship or many other things. But there's nothing that brings comfort like the Word of God. You read the Bible to them. You quote Scripture to them. You help them to understand the meaning of life and the meaning of death and what lies beyond for the child of God, and there's comfort in that. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. It was Peter's mother-in-law laid down on a bed. She was sick and had a fever. I don't know what kind of disease that she had, what it was that was producing the fever, but it was something that had her down for the count, wasn't it? But we find Jesus coming into the house, touching her hand and raising her up. How many times have we seen Jesus do that in our lives? Many a time, hasn't he? He's actually came into our very home and touched the hand of a loved one to raise them up. We have to understand that by the eye of faith and by the believing heart that Jesus is that man. You know, the Hebrew letter says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Same Jesus that did this to Peter's mother-in-law is the same Jesus that we serve today. He's the same Jesus that we'll serve forever. John 14 and verse 18, the Bible says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. You know, there's never a time that Jesus has ever left his children without comfort in some fashion. You know, even when Jesus was suffering upon the cross of Calvary, he was trying to bring comfort to his mother and to his disciples and those that were around about him. John 14 and 16, the Bible there says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus said, when I leave, I'm going to ask God to send a comforter for you. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan, but I'm going to send you a comforter, and he's going to abide with you forever. What is that? It's the Spirit of truth. Well, the Bible tells me in the Roman letter that God gives his Spirit unto those that obey him. If we'll just obey God today, he'll give us that Spirit. And then we find that Spirit of truth as we read the Scriptures every day. He says we can get comfort from that. Psalms 23 and 4, David says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jim, there's been many a time in my life that if I didn't have the Scriptures to turn to, I don't know what I'd do. Because it's the greatest source of comfort that you can find. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, Paul says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, you can find comfort in words, particularly when they're the words of God. We find that when Jesus' hand is in our life, that he can reassure. Have you ever been in a situation where perhaps you doubted yourself, or you doubted those around you, or you doubted the future, and you needed someone to bring reassurance to you and to build you up and help make you strong? Matthew 17, verse 5, Jesus has just gone up onto the mountain that we call the Mount of Transfiguration. He's taken with him three of his apostles, and he's went up there and he's met with Moses and Elijah. And Luke in his gospel says they're talking about the decease which he is to accomplish at Jerusalem. And of course we know there was a conversation that went on there, particularly between Jesus and Peter. And the Bible says, while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now, can you imagine what it'd be like if you were following the Son of God? He was teaching and preaching for about 3 years, and you'd seen all the miracles that he'd done, and you'd heard all the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And yet you go up on this mountain and you see this transfigured Christ, and you see Moses and Elijah, and you see him talking and all these various things. You know, that would have scared me. That would have scared me to see the transfigured Christ and Moses and Elijah that have both been deceased. But then here comes a voice out of the cloud, no doubt a thundering voice. One like perhaps Moses had heard many years before, that had been like a thunder over the mountain. The Bible says they fell down on their face and they were so afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." You know, even in the presence of such great things as that, Jesus can touch our lives and say, "Don't be afraid of anything. You don't have to be afraid of God in heaven, because I'm his Son and you are following me." You know, Jesus made it plain in John chapter 10 that "I know my sheep and I'm known of mine." And that's a wonderful consolation and reassurance for us today, to know that Jesus knows me. Jesus knows you personally. Jesus knows you just like you know him. Revelation 20 and verse 11, the Bible there says, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were found written in the books according to their works. See, they looked the dead which were near. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, that would be a terrible time, wouldn't it? That sounds like a very scary time. That sounds like a time that we may be like the disciples, the apostles were, that we would fall on our face and be so afraid. You know, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Jesus says, "Don't be troubled." John 14, 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled." He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." When this great calamity comes, when this great scene unfolds that John saw, when he sees the dead, small and great, stand before God, those that are God's children, Jesus says, "Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. You believe in God. You believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Children, when death claims us, when it's the life's end for us here upon the earth, those that are children of God don't have to be afraid. Those that are children of God are going to their home Jesus has prepared for them. And we need to be reassured in that and realize that. 1 John 4:17, John says, "Hearing it is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." John says we can be bold in the day of judgment. Even in that great catastrophe, even in that great scene that unfolds that John saw in the Revelation, we can be bold. Why? Because we know Jesus. We've studied his word every day. We went to the worship service and we've heard it taught and we've practiced it all of our lives. And we are living like Jesus wants us to live. And because there's a prepared place for God's children, and that's where I'm going. John 3:18, John says again, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." In other words, we practice what he preached. Right? When we practice what he preached, we assure our hearts before him. Finally, John 10:27, Jesus says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You know, when we allow Jesus and God to have a hand in our life, things will work out good for us. And the way that we allow them to have a hand in our life is to read this Bible here every day and appropriate its teachings to our lives. And the Bible says that when we do that, that we build up on our most holy faith, Jude said. We can be strong in the faith. We can be bold in Christ. We can be assured in Christ. We can realize that we have a Lord that is a strong refuge and a very present help in trouble, as the psalmist said. I hope that Jesus exercises a part in our life. And if he doesn't, then we need to seriously consider the advantages that we have by allowing him to have an exercise, a part in our life. Bible makes it plain that we are to hear the word of God. We are to hear Jesus Christ. We are to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That we are to repent or turn away from our sinful life. That we are to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. And that we're to be buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new life. When we do that, Jesus participates in our life. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says that we've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. For your life is, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with whom we glory. We allow Jesus to work in our life. And if you allow Jesus to work in your life, work even more to give you more power and influence in your life. And if he's not, we hope that you make the decision tonight to allow him to exercise that influence in your life to obedience to the Scripture. Brother Terry, now will lead us in a song. If there's one in the audience that needs to become a Christian,
We have prayed and considered to do that as together as we stand this name.